Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are inviting you to give us a call on our topic today, a match made in heaven or hell. Uh-oh. What is your situation? Was your match made in heaven or hell? And what do you want to say about it? Do you need some counseling on that thing? Do you need some advice? Well, this is a great day to call in and get that information. All you have to do is reach out to us at 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon. I'm your co-host. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia or anywhere. Be anywhere in the world if you're listening online or through one of our apps. So we are so grateful that you decided to join us this morning. As Tiffany mentioned, today's topic is a match made in heaven. And we want to know, do you have a match made in heaven or perhaps a match made in hell? Mm-hmm. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God in heaven, we thank you so much for this morning and this opportunity to be together and to have our friends listening, God, and calling in. And as we discuss today's topic, God, a match made in heaven or hell, God, I do pray for those who need healing and encouragement. Father, I do pray that today's program will really bless so many. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, today's, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And our theme scripture of today comes from Genesis chapter 29. And I'll read here. It says, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than any other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. You know, there's a lot more to the story. We'll share a little bit more about it as time goes on. But the main part I want us to focus on here is the fact that Jacob had to work and basically be an indentured servant for 7 years in order to marry Rachel. But the Bible says that they only seem like a few days to him because of his love for her. And so, you know, that feeling of being in love, you know, that feeling of, my goodness, I can't live without this person. They take my breath away. You know, what has that led to? If you marry that person, are you still in love? Or, you know, did you realize, wait a minute, this person has flaws and faults and struggles and imperfections. And so, you know, where are you with that? So if you are a match made in heaven and you feel like God absolutely put you together, you've kind of stood the test of time, persevered, and you're enjoying marriage and having a great relationship, we want to hear from you. But also the other end, if you expected it to be that way and it turned out that it wasn't, we want to hear from you. We want many who are listening that are single, we want to, you know, listen and find out, okay, what can I do right, or what can I learn from the things that you did wrong, so that, you know, we can learn here. So again, we want to hear from you. We want to give you this number so you can go ahead and call in this morning.
That's right, and the number is 855-454-5905. All right, so we wait for you to call in. And also, if you're unable to call in, if you're a little nervous about calling in, you can post your question on our Facebook page as well. So go to Facebook.com and look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. Post your question, and hopefully Marcos will be able to get to it before we close today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, on Facebook, I think I might have posted this. I don't know if it was on this site or on my personal page, but I stumbled upon a story. It was real nice. I usually don't follow these like corny stories, but I really like this one, so I'll share it real quick. So this couple have been married for many years. You know, they're older, and all along, you know, they didn't have any secrets. They had a great relationship, except this one just one shoebox that the wife kept mentioning to the husband. You know, whatever you do, just don't look in that shoebox. Mm. And he trusted her, so he never looked in. And then she got very ill. She was about to die, and he was helping her to clean up. And there was the shoebox. So she said, you know, I think it's time, you know, you open it and find out what's in it. And as soon as he opened it, there were like thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm. And a couple, just two dolls, crocheted dolls. Mm. And he's like, what in the world is this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the woman, the old lady, starts explaining. She said, well, you know, I was taught, you know, my mother, when we first got married, said that if I was ever upset with you, not to, you know, let you know, not to get it out on you, but to like quietly go to another room and crochet a doll. Mm. And, you know, so there were two dolls there. And it's like, wow, you know, that's this only happened a couple of times in all the years we were married. He was pleased about that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, okay, I understand that. I see the two crochet dolls. He's like, what about all the money? Mm. She's like, well, the money is, you know, the money I made selling all the dolls that I crocheted.
That's funny.
So, you know, obviously they had a rocky relationship. So, you know, what is your story? We
that's
want
funny.
To hear from you. You
that's
have
funny.
A match made in heaven or a match made mm-hmm. in hell. We definitely want to hear from you. Again, we'll give you the number and then we'll go to our first call in just a moment.
That's right. You can reach us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Andrea. Okay, Andrea's calling in from New Jersey. Andrea, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey,
hello.
Andrea. Okay, you got to turn the radio off in the background,
completely
mama,
off.
And listen to your phone, not to the radio.
Okay.
Okay, right. There you go. So is Andrea? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, so you have a comment or question for us this morning?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Right. So my comment is... Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Great. We're listening.
I'm so sorry. Yes, my comment is pretty much, it's for me, it's not a match made in heaven. I was in a relationship, mm-hmm. and it was, I guess, a match made in flesh and hell.
Mm, okay.
We dated probably a month, and we were planning a wedding on the second month. And I think it was because we both wanted to be married so bad without even getting to know one another,
sure.
that we just were doing this. Like, God was not in the midst at all. Of course, we said, if it's God's will, but in the back of our minds, we had already made up our mind.
Sure.
So that dating session had taught me so much about not just who he was as a, you know, person, but who I was. You know, and what I wanted right then and then, I didn't have the patience to wait. I didn't want to wait. That anxious, and I mean, it was as fast as it started, as fast. That was as fast as it ended.
Wow. Well, now, please tell us your name, because I didn't think we got that.
I'm sorry. I'm Felicia from Philly.
Okay, Felicia from Philly.
Felicia.
I like that. All right. So, Felicia, you had this relationship that kind of started, and it was very emotional. You definitely, now that in hindsight, you see that God wasn't in the picture. You said all the right religious things like, oh, God's will, God's in control. But it really was about your fleshly desires, the same thing with him. And it ended abruptly. It just you kind of saw it. His true colors. I guess he got to see your colors. He just realized, you know, this wasn't meant to be. So what is the lesson you've learned?
For one is that although people say, you know, I'm in church, I'm Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't allow fruit to bear. I didn't see the fruit of what was being said. So I that's for one. And just patience and really hearing God, because I'm sure God said things. I'm sure he showed me signs, because I'm not just saying it was just on him, because, you know, but I'm sure God was saying things. I'm sure he showed signs. And so it was about my patience and just giving time to see what the person was really about, the fruit that they were bearing, whether it was good or bad.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting? Something, and I actually had got together just last night. I had a group of singles that I met with, and I had a bunch of questions. We were talking about relationships and romance, and one of the things that we discussed is some work that was done by a sociologist, Dorothy Tennant, in the 1960s and 70s. She did some work, and she coined this phrase called limerence. Have you heard of it before?
No.
Okay. A lot of people haven't heard of it, but limerence is basically that feeling of being madly in love. That it's almost like where, you know, people say that love just blinds you and you don't see someone's flaws. And well, according to scientists and experts, they believe that this is a real emotion and it really does blind you. And so what happens is, this is what I did with a group of singles yesterday. I got together and we came up with a list, and I'll share that list later on in the show. But we came together with a list of things that you must have in a relationship. You know, non-negotiables, things that you absolutely need to have. And it's a great list. And I'll share it in a little bit later in the show. But what we realize is why so many people have, whether they have a written list or they have their convictions and their you know, their moral, convictions themselves. And yet they feel like they fall madly in love with someone and they totally let go of all these things. Like you mentioned, like God wasn't in the picture. It was about your fleshly desires. But now you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? What was I doing? But that emotion took over and you gave in to the flesh desires.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much, Felicia. We really do appreciate you calling in this morning.
And I do want to say one more thing.
Sure.
Very fast. So I have been calling you guys like forever, like Marriage Beyond the Vows and the show before then. I mean, through my whole entire journey of dating, in dating, not dating now. So I'm just letting you know, you have an early invite. So when God sends me my husband, you guys are invited to my wedding because you guys have been there through it all, like literally.
Oh, good. Well, Felicia, we thank you so much. We look forward to that. Let us know when that is. And I believe it will be very different, right? Because you've learned some great lessons. Thank you, Felicia. Excuse me. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, stick around. We are talking about, is your match made in heaven or hell? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues right after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. A very good morning to you. Welcome back. Here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we're talking about, is your match made in heaven or hell? Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Andrea calling in from New Jersey. Andrea, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you also for the conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm calling in today because I met a gentleman in 1980 when I was in high school, and I kind of like fell in love with him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he left and went to California, and I always had love for him in my heart. In 2006, he returned back into the area. We kind of like hooked up and became friends again and started going out and dating, et cetera. A couple of things happened over the course of the time, and I waited for him again, and he came back into my life. And we kind of like had our ups and downs. My family never liked him, and they still don't like him today. We had a bad time. We had some big issues going on with our relationship. I have adult children, and they tried to like him, but due to our situations that we were going through, I kind of like put my kids before him to help them out, and, you know, he thought as though he was on the shelf or the back burner, and he still is in my life, and he just proposed to me last week, showed me a beautiful ring and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of confused because I want everybody, if I was to get married, to be at my wedding, to be happy for me,
well,
to allow it to happen.
Andrea, let me interject. Let me ask, what is it about this man that you're saying your family, your loved ones don't like? What is their complaint?
They see him as abusive. We okay. have some problems. They see him
physically abusive.
Yeah, physical. He put his hands on me more than once, but it was because he thought of the interference and the
Hold on a second. It doesn't matter why. I mean, he put his hands on you more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been abusive. So they're not just pulling this out of a hat. They have legitimate concerns.
Yes.
And what about you? Do you have those concerns?
Yes, I do. I do have those concerns. It scares me. It puts me in fear. It puts me in harm's way. But the love, I still go around him. I sneak around him. I shouldn't have to, but I do because of our connection. He is a Christian. He has seeked after the Lord. He's trying, and I know he does have a genuine love for me. When we're together and nobody's in our business, our relationship, or need my assistance or help, we do have a good time. We get along fine. We get along together fine. But it's because of these situations where if you trip out or bug out, then it puts me in harm's way, and I'm kind of like in limbo.
So let me just bring it back to the scriptures, right? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, where it describes love, it says love always protects. That's one of the key elements, the fruit of love.
Mm-hmm.
This man is not protecting. He's actually the one that puts you in mm-hmm. harm's way. He's hurting you. He's had shown that in the past. And it doesn't sound like you're very convinced that it won't happen again.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
And see, that's the concerning part, because I believe, you know, God can change anyone. I mean, he really can. But yeah. it does start with a sobered, repented spirit. And how reassured can you be that this person is changed? Now, if you don't feel that way, then it's concerning that you want this. And I think this is what happens. We were talking about limerence earlier. You know, that feeling of being in love, you know, it blinds you to the point where, you know, you're an adult woman and you know you don't have to be sneaking, but you feel like something's wrong with this relationship. You don't want to hear it from your loved one, so you sneak around. Mm-hmm. Now he wants to get married, but you don't feel secure that this man is truly going to protect you because he's shown a different side.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question would be, why would you want to spend the rest of your life with someone that you don't totally feel confident that they're going to cherish you, protect you, and love you the way God expects you to be loved?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why? Like, what is it about this guy that you want so badly?
Well, when I was 19 years old, to be truthful, I had a vision. I really did. Like, God showed me this vision of being the sky together in marriage.
Okay.
And the vision that God had shown me, it was beautiful. It really was. It was everything that I wanted. It was everything that I desired. We were blessed in this vision. And I know that we could get to the standards, you know, without the confusion, without so much malice and hatred in our relationship, because we're both go-getters. We're both working people, achievers, like nice things, like to do the same things and share the same type of hobbies and sports together. You know, but my mom, she says that y'all are different. We are different. We were raised differently.
Yeah.
And that's what my mom say. And her one adjective to describe him always been the word, I don't like him because he's dangerous.
Wow.
And
wow.
He has shown that. And I used to laugh and say it off. And she said, yeah, you laugh now, but you're going to cry later.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just been a mess.
Andrea, let me be really honest with you, okay? And I know you felt like, you know, you had this vision. And maybe that was a vision from God. And I believe God does speak to us, but he also mm-hmm. gives us opportunities to make our own choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
was a long time ago, and it could have been, you know, again, we don't know what the future holds. But one thing I can say is I also believe God speaks through those who love us. Mm-hmm. And as a warning, it sounds very prophetic what your mother said, that I just don't like him because he's dangerous. So mm-hmm. this is someone that obviously I'm going to say that I believe your mom loves you and wants what's best for you. So she's telling you this, you know, then you're telling me now you have adult children. They have the same concerns. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a part there that has to have more of an alarm. And look, I'm not saying you just cut it off tomorrow. I mean, if it were my daughter and I was giving her advice, yes, I would tell her to cut it off. But you're a grown woman. You have to make up mm-hmm. your own, you know, mind. Mm-hmm. And this is a decision you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't take this warning lightly. And so mm-hmm. if it were me, or if it was me telling my daughter or someone I truly love, I would say, listen, you need to put this on hold. Although he put that ring on your finger, showed you a beautiful ring, I would say, listen, you got to hold this. Maybe we can work something out. But you got to go get help because you're dangerous. I don't feel safe because mm-hmm. we got to go back and deal with this because I need to be reassured that you're going to be different and that I can live with you and be mm-hmm. safe for the rest mm-hmm. of my life. And until mm-hmm. he gets radical and shows you and convinces you he's different, I wouldn't trust it. Even then, it's a challenge. But I would tell you, without that, I would say absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Andrea, you're a grown woman. It's your decision. But I think you know deep inside that there's something wrong because you even, mm-hmm. you called and you're sharing this. And what you're doing, something interesting, like I mentioned, I got with a group of singles last night. And we talked about this, how sometimes you try to convince yourself, mm-hmm. no, it's not so bad. No, it's okay. You know, yeah, he's abusive, but, you know, he's nice sometimes. You know, no, mm-hmm. you got to look at it for what it's worth. The best decision you can make is put it in God's hands. And if those around you that love you want what's best for you, if they start feeling great, I believe if this man is really proven to be different, they mm-hmm. they would change as well. They would feel like, wow, he's changed. He's mm-hmm. different. But until they mm-hmm. do so, to me, it's just too risky. We're talking about marriage here. This is mm-hmm. not like, mm-hmm. you know, buying a pair of shoes and now they fit a little tight. So you just, you know, you decide you get a new pair. This is a marriage forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But Andrea, we pray you make the wisest decision. We'll be praying for you. Don't let your emotions lead you in the wrong path, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. You have a blessed day.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care. All right, sorry about that. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're talking about, is your match made in heaven or hell? So we want you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Erica, calling in on line 3 from Philly. Erica, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Great. So please tell us, what is your comment or question for us today? I believe maybe you want to respond to what we just had a discussion with Andrea.
Yes. Well, you know, I share her experience. Being in an abusive relationship for a number of years. And one of the words that you had used was, you said the word convinced,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, when women are involved in any kind of dysfunctional relationship, they convince themselves. I don't like to use the word convinced. I believe it's denial. And denial can be very deadly. And Andrea, at this particular point, today she had the courage to even call to share and be transparent with all of us. So I want to give my kudos to her for building up the courage and being transparent. But what I also heard she was doing was making excuses for this gentleman. And a lot of times when women are in abusive relationship, we do make excuses so that we can, you know, make it be okay. And it's really not okay. So I just want to say that where did she learn that this was love? Where did she learn that this behavior was even acceptable? And because she had to either learn it, she had to see it, for her to feel that she's not worthy mm-hmm. to really be loved and that somebody has to control her Also, where did she learn that it's okay to turn over all her power and give her power to somebody that can really control her?
Sure.
And take her, and take her vulnerabilities
Erica, and use it against her. Hold one second there. So you're saying you can relate because you've been through that. So what was it like for you when you were in this abusive relationship? And you're saying you don't like to use the word convince, but you were in denial, basically. But the reason I use that word is it's you try to convince yourself, because you're in denial. You try to say, well, no, like I said earlier, you say, well, or even like Andrea was saying, right? She was saying, no, he is abusive, but he's also really nice and he really does love me. And, you try to almost like you're having this internal battle within, like the voice of reason is there. Your loved ones are telling you danger, danger. I mean, in this case, right, in Andrea's case, her own mother says, listen, this man, when I think about him, it's just the word danger comes to mind. Like, I just don't feel safe. And she's like, and I can see why, yet she's still trying, even in the phone call, right? She was trying to convince herself. So what was it for you when you were in an abusive relationship? What was that battle like for you?
Well, I had the same battle because you actually look at the person. You try to pick out the good from the not so good, and then you try to weigh it. But as time goes on, the relationship will get worse. It will get worse to the point that you will almost lose your mind because you don't know what to do. So mentally, I was broken. Like mentally, spiritually, I was broken. I could not talk to anybody about it. I felt very isolated because I didn't want people to judge me. And I just didn't want to hear, oh, he's this, he's that. Because I saw different, but it's not really that I saw different. It's just that we were each other's mirror. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So just as insecure as this gentleman was in my life, I too was also insecure.
And you go into a different point, which I agree with. And I think it's that some people are really not good for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that's just the truth. I mean, we like to think that we're the exception and mm-hmm. we can change somebody, but it just isn't. Like, if you have a weakness and mm-hmm. the person you end up with has the same weakness, sometimes that makes it so much worse. You need to balance each other out. And, they say opposites attract. I think sometimes you do need that opposite because you help one another. But, Erica, you made some really good points, but I think that the biggest and loudest point you've made was that this will get worse, and learning from experience.
It will definitely get worse. I wound up, I retaliated back eventually.
Wow.
And it could have went either way. I could have killed him. He could have killed me. I could have been in jail for the rest of my life because it actually got to that particular point.
Wow. Wow. So your warning to anyone else in that situation is don't even get in it in the first place. If you see the signs, run away.
Once it starts, it'll continue because what they do with the controller,
mm-hmm.
he'll isolate her from her family. Like when she said that he hit her for her being there for her family, for her children, and not there for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll get to that extreme because he'll begin to isolate her, and I see it. He's isolating her now,
of course,
trying to get her from her family.
Of course.
Then what he'll do is he'll continue to belittle her. He'll continue to take everything she is and strip her of everything through the manipulation because he'll manipulate her too. So I encourage her, she's in Philadelphia, to contact Women in Transition
mm-hmm.
and get some help for battered and abused women, because that's what I had to do. I had to go through group session. I went through individual session, but I was able to look at the part that I played. Because see, plays the part.
Erica,
not a victim.
No, I appreciate it. And you know what? She still has the opportunity to not be in that situation. Like he asked her to marry him, but she could still say no. She's not.
She's not her husband.
Of course.
To be by herself. She's scared.
Oh, there's a lot. We agree. There's a lot going on there. But Erica, we do thank you so much. This is great conversation. And I do pray that those who are listening that are in a similar situation would take your warning and run away. All right.
Yeah, one. Yes,
amen.
Run.
All right, Erica. Well, thank you. You have a blessed day.
All right.
You too.
Take
you
care. All right. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Let's see who is next. Is Kim? That's Kim. Is next on line one, calling in from Philadelphia. Kim, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I heard a reading about Andrea, and I'm praying for her to get out of that situation. And that's, you know, not my reason for calling, but, you know, sometimes you hear other people's situations and you just forget all about yourself and you just want to, you know, try to help someone else.
Sure.
I'm praying that she gets the help that she needs. And I was married before someone told me that someone prophesied to me, and this was my reason for getting married, that I was going to get married. And so I, you know, got married because, you know, someone told me that I was going to be married. I had this whole relationship with God, and, you know, sure. I believed everything, you know, that the Christians and the people in the church and the prophets, you know, and the prophetess said to me. And not only that, the day, I think the same day or the day after, I actually believe it was the same day, I went home and this guy asked me to marry him. Now, we were in a relationship, but it was kind of like, you know, I had no plans on marrying him until this is what was prophesied to me.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So you were in a relationship, but it didn't seem like it was very serious. Someone tells
yes.
you, okay, listen, you're going to get married, and all of a sudden he proposes to you.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's crazy, and I'm like, okay, well, this has got to be God, you know, this is what she said, and, you know, but I'm like, you know, maybe God is going to change him, maybe God is going to work things out for me. Now, without consulting God first, which is what I should have done, and I know now, but I went on and did it, and all the way up to walking down the aisle, I'm questioning this relationship, like, you know, questioning actually even marrying him, but I did it, and I lived through hell for seven years. And everybody kept saying to me, you know, you got to pray for your husband. You got to pray for him. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And it built up my relationship with God. I literally fought demons for him in my sleep. And he was abusive as well, not so much as putting his hands on me, but I feared for my life every night.
Wow.
And I prayed every night before I went to bed that God, you know, if he takes me out of here, Lord, please take me with. Let make sure that I'm with you when I, you know, when I get up. I don't want to be in hell
wow.
anymore, Lord. And I prayed this every night for 7 years.
So you were literally like sleeping with the enemy.
Yep, literally sleeping with the enemy, and I just kept thinking that this was what he got wanted and it was going to be changed. And the people in the church was telling me to pray for him and not force him until a situation happened and he threatened to kill me, and I decided to leave. Now, at that point, I took his threats very seriously, and I decided to live because I had a 2-year-old son,
wow.
and it was time to go. I have family, thank God, so I was able to lean on them and go and stay with them until I got myself together. So it was like I had made that conscious decision, okay, maybe once I realized that I should have consulted God first, I realized that that wasn't the relationship that maybe that prophetess prophesied to me. Maybe what she prophesied to me was something else.
Mm.
I just assumed it was that because he was there.
I got you.
So I, you know, I made a decision to leave and I left. And the whole thing about a match made in hell and a match made in heaven is at 41 years old and trying to do things on my own and make, you know, have relationships with people who I'm thinking is good for me or good people, they end up being not so good people or not good for me and putting me in so many different crazy situations.
Wow.
So I decided to wait. I decided to finally be celibate and not, you know, have a relationship with anyone. And, you know, I don't even want to talk to anybody because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I do it myself, then I'm going to put myself in harm's way because I've been choosing the wrong people. And
sure.
I see a pattern in what's happening and what's been happening in my life. So now I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting for God to send me who it is that he wants for me. And at this point, after going through so many crazy relationships and a 7-year marriage, that wasn't good. I need to know, how do I know that it's God? I'm afraid to talk to you because
I don't want to go through anything crazy. I don't even want to be bothered. I have a son now. He's 11 years old now.
Wow.
I just want what God has for me. So I need to be sure that you're who he sent to me. Otherwise,
let me share something with you really quickly here, Kim. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 9. It says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness." You know, it's an interesting passage, right? Because it talks about how if you don't want to believe the truth, God will let you believe the lie. As a matter of fact, it says God will send this powerful delusion. And I think it really goes back to, like, do we love the truth enough to see it? Like, we keep referring to Andrea and her phone call, right? Because you could tell she's torn. But here's one thing. She has the truth. The truth is this guy has shown his colors. He's abusive.
Right.
But the other part is, but maybe not. Maybe he's not so bad. You know, you try to convince yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when something's from God, it's crystal clear. I mean, I could tell you the scariest part about getting married for me was once my heart was set on wanting to marry my wife, mm-hmm. being so resolved that it would be God's will, that even up until the moment that I said I do, even the moment I was standing at the altar, I was like, God, if this is not from you, you make it clear. Now, mind you, at that point, my heart is all in. I mean, I'm committed. I'm there. But my heart was like, listen, I'd rather it not work out right now than make the wrong decision. And it was hard because all along I'm praying. I'm like, God, you know what I want, but I want your will more than my will. And that's really hard to do when we're emotionally attached, because all of a sudden we want to play God in our lives. We want to believe we know what's best. But we don't. And that's the truth. And so the truth is, listen, if we trust God enough, we don't have to make the pieces work. And I think that what you're sharing, Kim, is even in that relationship, you knew things were wrong, but it's like, oh, no, this must be right, or I'll make this work. And all of a sudden, you start trying to make that square peg fit into that round hole where it never will. And I think that's the mistake. I mentioned when I got with a group of singles, we came up with a list, a great list, you know, things like people are saying how important integrity is. It's important that they're honest, and I'll share them a little later. But this whole list, yet so many people totally disregard that list when they feel like they're in love and they try to convince themselves that this person is different. Now, I'm not talking about the other extreme where someone is so picky that they want everything, you know, in their minds. And some of those things could even be, you know, worldly. I'm talking about things that, you know, biblically you should never compromise with, like the fact that the man should be a Christian. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, he's not a Christian, but he's a nice guy. You know, he might be nice. You know, maybe he'll become a Christian, you know, and all of a sudden you start like, yeah, he doesn't really protect me. And I know he's shown to be, you know, physically abusive, but not always. You know, we've had good moments. And so you try to convince yourself. And the Bible says, according to the scripture, that God will let you believe the lie.
That's crazy. And the only thing on my list right now at this point is I want him to love himself. And I want him to love God more than he loves me. Because if he loves God, and he has that connection with him and that relation with him, then God is going to show him how he needs to love me. And that's the only thing that I pretty much require right now, except for the physical and everything else. And, I mean, the first thing is for him to love himself and to love God.
And here's the thing. Let me help you just a little bit, okay? I know we have some other callers we need to get to. But, you know, the Bible never calls us to love ourselves. Because we are going to do that. I mean, you know, if someone has a real issue or with depression, they tend not to love themselves. Or, you know. But for the most part, we're beings that we're going to love ourselves. And we do a lot of the things that we do that are wrong because we love ourselves. I think your second part, it should be the first part. That person needs to love God, and then they need to love you. Because in reality, what you want is someone that will put God first, and then that they'll put you above themselves. So I want to encourage you to change that prayer to be someone that loves God and that loves you and will put you before themselves. Because that's the type of, that's what Jesus did, right? He loves us in such a way that even when we didn't deserve it, he gave it all. And that's a unselfish love. So don't worry about him loving himself. If he loves God, he loves you. He's going to love himself. Mm-hmm. I tell you, there are times where I didn't take care of myself the way I should have. But now that I'm married and I have a child, I'm like, you know what? I've learned to love myself even more because of my love for my family. There are things that I do even more for myself because of God first. Like the Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I have to take care of the temple. Not so much for me, because God deserves the best. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right, Kim. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you listening and picking up the phone and giving us a call. You have a blessed day.
You too.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go to Brian calling in from Pennsylvania on line two. Brian, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Brian, we're doing great. We're doing great. Having a great conversation here. I believe you mentioned to our producer that you also have a comment for Andrea, who was a previous caller.
I mean, I've been hearing a lot, and my name is Brian Card, and I've been hearing a lot, and 1 John 4 said like this, and because I hear a lot of people saying that the Lord gave them visions.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 John 4:1 said, beloved, believe not every spirit to see. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether it be of God. For many spirits have gone out into the earth. God is not confused, according to 1 Corinthians 14:33.
That's true.
God is not going to tell me somebody, my husband, who beat me up. I mean, women beat men up, too. I just want to...
No, you're right. It just doesn't get talked about as often, right? Most men would be embarrassed, but you're right. And I've known of a few, so...
Yeah, so, but God is not confused. He's not going to tell me somebody, my husband or wife, who beat me up. But here's my issue, because a lot of us say God told us somebody is our husband or wife. But the minute things don't go the way we expect it to go, we walk away from covenants and relationship that we say God told us to be in. Either we lied on God or God lied.
Mm-hmm.
And we know God don't lie according to 23:19 Numbers.
Sure.
He don't tell lies. So, and even if I'm saved, and that man is unsaved, the unbelieving husband is sanctified, according to 1 Corinthians 7, by the believing wife.
Yep.
So I'm just very concerned with what's going on in the body, because many people are you know, the divorce rate has went down, but it hasn't went down because folk are not getting divorced. It went down because ain't nobody getting married no more, and it's because people are not waiting on God. Proverbs 3:5 said, I heard the young lady say, how do I know? Will you trust in him with all your heart? Lean not to your own understanding. But if you acknowledge him, he promised to direct thy paths. I tell people that, you know, some scientists have suggested that when you are in love, it's the same feeling as a person who's on drugs.
Mm-hmm. No,
and I tell
true.
People all the time, people say, follow your heart. You better not follow your heart.
Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful, right?
Yeah, it's deceitful. Wicked,
yep, that's
and
correct.
Deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So I tell them, if they listen to the Holy Ghost, and
that's
I think
right.
that we should urge people to really fall in love with Jesus and know him. Don't know about him. Don't just go to church. We thank God for prophets. I believe in the prophetic. But the prophetic is only to confirm what God has already been talking to me about. God is not confused.
Absolutely.
He's not crazy. And if people fall in love with Jesus, he promised me in
That's
his
right.
word that
Amen.
My steps are ordered of him, and that even if I get in a rough place, according to 8:28 Romans, he's going to work it together
for the
my
good.
Good.
That's
yes,
right.
I just want to comment. And,
well, Brian,
I'm
we
sorry
thank you.
For talking too much.
Well, but, thank you. Well, you preach the word, Brian, and we really appreciate it, Brother Brian. So thank you so much. Absolutely good advice that people need to listen to the Holy Spirit, to the word of God, more than that emotion in their hearts. So thank you, Brother Brian. We really appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Have a blessed day.
All right. Take care.
All right. Let's continue on with our phone calls here.
All right. We have Debbie calling in on line three. Debbie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
I was listening to the conversation. It's very interesting, and I strongly believe what the gentleman just said. I'm married, and during the course of my marriage, how I ended up getting married was because I was a caregiver for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And going into losing my mother, my whole situation changed, and I really didn't felt like I was with anybody, and I was kind of like angry for the fact that I thought that God left me because my mom was gone. But I understand that I didn't want to, be selfish by keeping her here and praying and asking God to keep her here.
Okay.
Yes, I was saved. My husband at the time was not, but at the time, well, we weren't married, but he showed me all the, he did everything that needed to do. He took care of everything where I couldn't function and I couldn't do anything.
So Debbie, let me get this clear. So were you in the relationship while you were taking care of your mother and she passed, or after she passed, you found this gentleman and started dating?
Yes, right, exactly. That's
so basically after the loss, after you were mourning the loss of your mother, you got into this relationship and he started meeting a lot of your emotional needs at the time.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And then you ended up getting married to him.
Yes.
Okay.
But not knowing that, I couldn't think clearly at that time, but I knew that I was in the Word and I knew that God honored marriage and I wanted to do that.
Okay.
And because I didn't want to sin in, that way. So, and it has a lot to do with my whole circumstances. I have family members right now that he didn't want to be around the family and all that. And mm-hmm. I don't understand that point. But getting back to what I call for is that I was in this for like 14 years now. And he doesn't want to leave. I have prayed and asked God to show me and teach me the right way to go. I still haven't convinced myself, but I'm still leaning on it. Let me just be honest with you. I have fallen short on certain issues when it comes down to actually being saved. I know what it is to be saved, mm-hmm. but I'm just being honest with you. And I don't know if it was because of the relationship with me and my husband that made me lose the focus
mm-hmm.
on actually just believing in God and just letting him take care of the situation, or is it that I was praying and asking God for the answer and I did not understand if he gave me the answer or not? I couldn't receive whatever it was. I don't know if I got the answer, needed to pray.
Well, let me understand this clearly, because I'm trying to make a little sense of this here. So your husband doesn't want to go. Do you feel like maybe you need to leave him so that you can focus on God? Like you feel like it's pulling you down being married to this man?
At this point, I think that's what it is. But I have prayed and asked the Lord, said, "Well, look, God, if this is what you want me to do, show me." And maybe I'm not hearing it, or maybe I don't want to hear it. I just need to know how to focus into receiving, and a lot of folks says listen to the Holy Spirit. Yes, I understand that part, but if you're not, how can I say this? I'm just a little confused. I don't want to take up all the time.
No. Debbie, let's do this. We're going to take a brief break. I do want to share something with you. I don't want to get into it, and then we have to take a break. So we're going to take a break. If you could just hold on, you'll be our first caller right back after the break. And we'll get into this a little bit more. Okay, so don't worry about the time so much. Let's focus on getting you the answers from the scriptures. And then I believe many are going to learn from this as well.
All right, so just hold on the line. But if you and our listening audience are not yet on the line, we'd like to know, is your match made in heaven or hell? That's our topic today. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Stick around. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.